People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
Making the transition from military to civilian life can be challenging. Thankfully, there are organizations and individuals dedicated to helping provide resources and information to help ensure the greatest success for families of those who have served. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing, I'll be speaking with Todd Steffen, coordinator of the Veterans First program at Las Positas College. Las Positas is a valued partner at Eden's new Valor Crossing property in Dublin, which caters to vets and their families. The Veterans First program helps with career planning, understanding financial aid under the GI Bill and the VA, and acts as a one-stop center for a wide range of resources. Todd, welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me here.
You bet. Is one of your goals to encourage new veterans to pursue a higher education?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's to be able to utilize their GI benefits, but it's not necessarily just to pursue a higher education. If they're thinking about school and they contact us at Las Positas or the Veterans First, and there's an opportunity for employment right away, we'll refer them to our network of employers that have been calling. So ideally, we'd love to have them come to Las Positas, but that's not our prime focus. Our prime focus is just making sure we serve them.
Got it. Do you get much pushback, Todd, or are most vets interested in learning more about the potential opportunities?
A lot of them are interested, but then there's the group that, you know, when they got out of high school, they didn't want to go into higher education. One of the reasons they pursued the career in the military, you know, enlisting in the military, and then coming out, you know, there's that hesitation because the experience when they're out of high school, going to college or not, might be a negative one. And of course, when they come in after serving, they have all these skills and, you know, dedication, discipline, all the stuff that our vets have that set them above students when they come here. But yeah, there's a hesitation on some. And then also partly is the age too, because their peers might be 18, 19 in the classroom.
So what do you do about that? How do you encourage them?
Well, one of the things is that's just part of life. You know, you're going to have to adjust to different groups, but to really encourage them in a, I think, in a positive way, that what they bring, a lot of the students that are younger that didn't serve, they're going to learn from these veterans that already have the leadership. They're already leaders in a lot of their classes. So not necessarily they have to stand up and say, hey, I'm a veteran, you all follow me. But their knowledge and skills, the way they interact with the instructors, the respect a lot of them will have when they go into the classroom because they learned that from the service. And we try to make it more of a positive, you know, and you will get some of these younger individuals that might have some questions that aren't always the best way to ask. But it's also like when we do our Honoring Our Veterans Day event, versus honoring vets, but the second part is really to educate non-veterans, so they can turn it into a positive, you know. And then of course, some of these 18, 19-year-old, I call them kids now, are amazing students. So I like to see when they do collaborate and work in groups for math or whatever the subjects, to see that mix and the integration. It's just a win-win.
Great. Tell us a little bit more about the program and what you're able to offer through Veterans First.
We started back in 2008. You know, the first thing, there's really not much funding from the federal government or the state. And the state's actually passed just recently for a little bit of funding to help support some vet programs. But there's a handful out of 114 community colleges. And we're one of them. We're a group of individuals that said, hey, we need to do more than just the benefit portion for our vets. So from there, we worked really closely with community groups. And that was our big support, and still is our local community groups, and developed our program. And then with you know, as we grew from 100 vets to over 500 now, facilities, support from higher administration, such as our chancellor and our college president, all them have been a big support. So the what we have is really each year we add and develop new programs, just like the partnership with the Valor Crossing. 2 years ago, we brought on a full-time academic veterans counselor in the vet center. So the whole goal is really to be a one-stop shop and bring in resources and services such as Palo Alto VA Healthcare. We'll come here every other week and get our vets signed up for health benefits that they have earned and deserve. And I know like next week they're going to be here giving flu shots. So those kind of services we bring in, as well as when internally at Las Positas from disability services, the financial aid. We have outside services such as a financial coach that comes in and works with individuals one-on-one on kind of what their goals and where they want to be financially. So we try to bring in a lot of different, and we try different things. Some stuff doesn't work so great, and we modify or stop doing that, and we continue. So a couple years ago, well, about probably 6 or 7 years ago, I could easily answer this question in about less than a minute. Now it takes quite a while, which I'm very proud to say, to talk about all the services we offer.
That's great. How many people do you serve currently, and how many people are you able to serve should the numbers grow?
You know, as we just hired two our new veteran specialists. Before, it was me doing a lot of our VA benefits, and then a hired student. There's a program called VA Work Study where it's veterans, dependent spouses that are eligible for the GI benefits that are able to work on campus and work within a program that is serving vets. And so that's been a good portion of my staff, and we've grown as the program has grown. So, I mean, it's even our vet center, it's a fairly nice size vet center. Thanks to our communities passing a new bond measure not too long ago, that's going to actually allow us to go into a bigger center. So we've outgrown our space, and it's a good thing. We're right now serving a little over 500 vets, but we also serve dependents and spouses. We have a few active duty, quite a many reserve and guard where we're at. And overall per year, it's a little over 600 because we have veterans in that group come and go as they graduate, transfer, get jobs, or go to another school too.
That's impressive. What are some of the unique challenges that vets face after returning from military service?
Some of them, I mentioned the one, the transition into the classroom setting. But the big one I hear over and over, and I've experienced seen with our veterans, is just the going from a very structured system to a non-structured system. You know, so you may know in the service, you know, you know what rank, you know what level of positions, you know what your job is, you know what the training is. You know, there's, I mean, definitely stuff unknowing, like deployed and whatnot, but overall, very structured versus, as we know, in the civilian world where you might not know who the professor is on campus because it might look like a student. You know, there's not a uniform and stripes to represent what level. So that's one of the big challenges I've seen with individuals. The other, which is an honorable thing, is asking for help. And I don't even use that word of help. It's more assistance, because sometimes they'll come across and they think like scholarships or some of these resources are like handouts. And it's not a handout. It's a, you know, it's a hand up. It's a service. It's what they've earned. So getting them over that part where it's like you're not asking for help. It's and, you know, in the service, you're trained to be very team-oriented, but also very independent and not doing what you need to do without asking for additional help. And that's why we have all these services, is so that our vets will be successful with the skills they have from service and then take education and then hopefully some opportunities with internships or you know, job shadowing or whatever it may be to be successful.
Are you seeing much post-traumatic stress amongst the vets that you're serving?
You know, I see some. I think, you know, every veteran, it's just like vets or non-vets, we all face some post-traumatic, whether you're in an auto accident. It just depends on what the experience, but it depends. I've had some combat veterans that have adjusted really well. They have a solid support of family, and their MOS, their job in the service was, infantry, or they were in combat, or whatnot. And not really demonstrate much post-traumatic stress. I do see where, and I get it, where, and many of our vets in their service where they may be on duty for hours at a time. And let's say, we'll use the example, someone working on, in the Navy, working on a ship, might be a nuclear engineer. And the times may be all, night in the day. So I do see the challenges of getting on track with sleep and stuff. But, I hate to paint the picture that our veterans are broken, that they're all post-traumatic stress. I think each individual has his own unique transitions. And some may be post-traumatic, some may be traumatic brain injuries, some may be from some concussions. It's a wide range.
Would you say that the wide range today is similar to what it's been in generations past? I mean, at different points, vets are coming back from different sorts of situations in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
So would you say there's anything going on today that is substantially different than what you've seen in the past?
What I've seen, I mean, because we serve all ages of vets, all eras. I mean, primarily we're serving more of our more recent returning veterans. But talking to our various local World War II vets and Vietnam vets and Korean War vets, it's interesting because you read stuff about our service members, their rate of survival is a lot higher. Their evacuation is a lot quicker, their equipment, their gear. So they survive things that past probably wouldn't have survived or definitely wouldn't have survived. So some of those injuries make it a challenge. But, I've talked to, like I mentioned, a World War II vet, and he said, we didn't have post-traumatic. They did.
Of course they did. They didn't call it that. They didn't have the term yet.
Yeah. And then the other piece is, technology, what amazing stuff that like Palo Alto VA is doing with rehab and just some of this knowledge that they are able to do to see the effects of blasts have on the brain. I mean, all that stuff wasn't there back in the day. So I would say that part's different. I mean, they're serving in all over the world, just like vets in the past. They're putting themselves in harm for our freedom as in vets in the past. So there's a lot of similarities of what they do and the basis of their service, but it is a little, the technology definitely, as we see, what we do know that we get to see is far and above what they had, not that long ago.
Right. And in terms of the social emotional, I mean, a lot of these veterans are returning back and have to live in a family situation, which is, of course, very different than what they were accustomed to while in the service. Is there sort of psychosocial counseling available as well through your program?
There is. We have our academic counselors, but we've also partnered, with, and this is the great thing about the veterans community. There's a lot of resources and a lot of experts. So we've partnered really closely with the vet centers out of Concord and Oakland, because they're our closest. We've had their readjustment counselors come on our campus. We're doing that again. Partnering with VA, Palo Alto Healthcare, those types of resources, because they're the experts. We do have counselors on site on campus, and two of them, I have a part-time and a full-time in the vet center. that are academic. Their prime focus is academic, but both are vets, and both are pretty knowledgeable, and both know how to, direct them to the right resources. And that's one of the main functions I do too. Is we may not have that exact service because of the skills needed, but we'll get them to the right people.
That's great. Without obviously compromising anyone's privacy or revealing any names, can you describe for us a typical scenario of how you were able to help a particular vet who was interested in attending college?
That's a good question. Because we get them a lot of times. I get emails and phone calls, word of mouth is, like even in the, I guess in the business sector, it's about customer service and word of mouth is the strongest thing. And so I get a lot of times where I'll get phone calls and they're saying, I talked to my buddy and he said, go to Las Posadas and then talk to Todd or, and then different people in here. I'm just trying to think of some examples because there's a lot of them. I can think of one that was very involved with the Veterans First program in the very beginning. This individual is an Army vet, infantry, multiple deployments early on in Afghanistan and Iraq. Had some challenges transitioning, getting back home. Got a little involved with the drinking to try to he didn't know what he really wanted to do. He got out of the service. They go through a transition program. And sometimes it's not the best stuff they get because he was infantry and he did their assessment and he was told that you can go in law enforcement. And that's nothing wrong with law enforcement, but that wasn't his goal. And this individual, and it was before we even had a resource center, started working with myself, my boss, Sylvia Rodriguez, who's one of our deans and very instrumental with our veterans program. And really developed a relationship. And he became really involved in helping model some programs like our orientation, Operation Gateway, even kind of coming up with a business plan. And I think those skills, we benefited and he benefited because he developed a camaraderie within the school and then with other vets, got involved with the Student Veterans Organization. And then that later on, that individual went to Cal Berkeley in engineering, got done, graduated, worked on the East Coast for a civil engineer or I think mechanical engineering firm, and now is in Colorado doing some stuff that he really enjoys. So you get those kind of those stories where, and I see more and more because I've been doing it for a little while, which is a great, for me personally, it's very rewarding to hear, another individual I know, he's now a PD at San Francisco. Another one's a nurse at in Castro Valley. So I'm starting to see the successes.
Right. The success stories are always what keep you going.
Definitely.
And also just affirm that this is the kind of support that people need in order to be their best selves.
Another example, because I think sometimes we categorize, no doubt, I can't even imagine being in combat and the transition our combat vets face. But I had an individual didn't have any combat experience, and his grandma called me and said, he's in his room and doesn't want to come out. And it was all about coming from a very, like I mentioned, structured to unstructured, and he wasn't eating. And then, I immediately called our VA, and they were able to provide some stuff, and then got him into Palo Alto Health, the medical facility, and got him back on and treatment. And so there's those situations. They may not even, directly be in school, just someone referred, and we try to do that too, as best we can.
That's great. Well, congratulations on your success. It's really quite impressive. I want to mention that the Veterans First program is just one of four partnerships at Valor Crossing that are all working together to serve residents. So there's a VA supportive housing social worker on the team to provide direct supportive services to veteran residents. There's Abode Services, which is providing resident services to all the residents, veteran and non-veteran, including one-on-one assistance. They have an after-school program, educational and wellness programs, information and referral services, and more. And then there's the Open Heart Kitchen, which provides weekly meals to residents and the community. So, Todd, overall, this is a very exciting partnership for Eden, and we appreciate the time you've taken to let us know a bit more about the challenges that returning vets are facing and the services that Veterans First of Los Positos College will be providing. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, you bet. And, you know, with Eden Housing and the Valley Crossing, that's another big challenge that our veterans are facing, especially in our Bay Area, where we know cost of living is outrageous, is housing. So it's great to collaborate with this program. I'm excited to look forward to having services out there from Los Positos.
That's great. Once again, that is Todd Steffen, coordinator of the Veterans First program at Los Positos College. I'm Joanne Green. For more information and to hear prior episodes of the Affordable Housing Podcast, please visit us at edenhousing.org.